Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." There are many more scriptures like this one that encourages us to overcome fear, yet we continue to be paralyzed by it. So we invite you to join in the conversation today as we explore some of these scriptures to discover how to overcome fear. Janie, it is amazing to me that there are so many verses on fear, yet we still find it difficult to overcome it and to have peace in our lives.
Well, you know, there's really only two paths that we can walk in life, and one of them is the path of fear, where that is the dominating underlying for all of our thinking. And then there is the path of faith. Mm-hmm. And faith requires more than just a five-letter word that we say. It must be applied.
And with action.
With action, okay. Yes. And every time we want to walk by faith, I will assure you the enemy has the detour sign up to faith and says, take a detour here through fear.
A shortcut. Yeah, Take the shortcut. Well, you've given this analogy a few times, and it really has helped me understand that if I am walking in fear, I can't be walking in faith. And that's the analogy of the train. There can only be one train on the track at a time. You cannot walk in fear and in faith at the same time. We've talked about jumping tracks. Mm-hmm. You know, we jump from faith to fear and faith to fear, but we don't actually walk in both at the same time. We are either in fear or we are in faith.
Because they both are moving in the same direction. If we're fearful of what is happening and going to happen, and we're trying to get control over that in our own strength and our own thinking, our own wisdom.
Right.
People say faith is let go and let God. I'm not sure that I go along with that phrase technically. I have to let go of self and sin, but to let go of responsibility, of knowing the Lord, of coming to know Him, mm-hmm. of when He draws us, of listening, requires a great amount of diligence and discernment.
Right.
But it's also, Sharon, I'm going to use a word here that I didn't even think about using, but If I will choose when fear comes, if I will claim some of the verses that we're going to go over today, if I do that, then I'm going to develop a habit. So when fear wants to hit, okay. Rather than feeling that emotion in my heart, and I'm letting the feeling now dominate the fear,
okay.
I'm going to go, wait a minute, but the Lord Jesus Christ says such and such. And then...
Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ says... "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind," 2 Timothy 1:7.
Okay, and that sound mind in some translations is a disciplined mind.
Okay.
So if we have a disciplined mind, that means that we are going to have to...
To have a disciplined mind, we've got to not let those emotions get us and go to the scriptures. That takes discipline.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And we invoke the will, but it's sometimes more than just a willful choice. There has to be a keeping of what we know to be true. And we have to keep what God has given us.
Like hiding it in our heart, like
yes.
The Proverbs
yes.
tells us too.
Yes. And that has a lot more than just me willfully saying, "I sought the Lord and He delivered me from all my fears." Well, I can say that mentally and invoke my will to believe that. But you know what? If I don't have the Word of God hid in my heart, just using that particular verse as a method won't work.
Okay.
And then when it says, I saw the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears, it might take weeks, days, months, or years for all of my fears to be released, because all my fears are not going to be at one time.
Right.
So
okay.
this denotes a continual seeking the Lord in prayer, for as each fear comes up, he is sufficient.
Right. Well, we also have Isaiah 41:10. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
That righteous right hand is the place of authority. You know, Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God. Mm-hmm. He sits at the place of authority. And what I like about the verse that you pulled, Isaiah 41:10, is that that's an Old Testament verse.
Yes.
And I can claim that as a general promise that he has given. Now, it says in the New Testament that he has given us the Old Testament as an example.
Okay.
So there are some things that I might be a little hesitant to say, oh, that was directly for the Israelites or what have you. And I can see it as an example, but I may not just say it's going to become my verse as a New Testament saint living in the dispensation of the grace in the church age. But there are hundreds and hundreds of promises, and many about fear in particular, that I can claim.
Okay.
And be on solid ground. Uh-huh. And that's one of them.
Okay.
And then, since we're in the Old Testament, Psalms 56:3 says, "When I am afraid, when I have fear, I will put my trust in you." Now, there, that shows that the person that is saying that has the ability to look to the Lord by faith to trust.
Right.
Now, are you going to trust somebody you don't know very well?
No.
All right.
No, I won't.
So that verse is really indicating that the author of that verse is seeking to know the God of creation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And yet many times people will pull a verse up like that, and when they don't feel the response that they want, then they don't believe it, and so they go into disbelief, of which right. we have to be very careful of. So I find that in the Old Testament, the people looked for signs. And in the New Testament, we see, especially in the Gospels, I'm thinking of one in Matthew 12, where the Lord says, "You seek after a sign." Now, that sounds really good. And then in the Tribulation, it also talks about them looking for signs. Okay, what's wrong with that? I mean, in concept of general, you can seek after signs. But if you seek after a sign as your final authority, you're not seeking after the person.
Okay. Okay, I gotcha.
And so being free from fear, I can't get something I can see and say, oh, I can see that now, I'm not afraid.
Right, right.
Fear is released from knowing the author of faith, which is Jesus Christ.
So one of the things that we really need to do if we are fearful, and maybe it's a combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the first thing you have to find out is, am I born again? Do I know the Lord?
Good point. Excellent
because
point.
Because until we do, fear,
well,
it rules.
Yeah.
There's no other place to go.
Yeah, because where will you put your faith? You'll have to put it in something external or in yourself.
In self,
okay. Which is highly dangerous.
Okay, so that's the first step, is just to find out, do I know the Lord? And even if you go to church, you've been in church for a while, you've claimed Christianity, but fear just grips you, maybe that's a question to ask. Lord, have I really committed myself to you?
Absolutely. And he tells the unbeliever to, in Hebrews 3 and 4, the day that the Lord makes something known unto them, don't harden your heart, but immediately
Right. Examine
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells the Christian to also examine themselves to see if what they're believing is it in accordance with the mind of God. I used to read the verse about examine and think, well, I don't need to examine. I know I'm a born again believer.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's equally as important that we both are examining so that the fears can be eliminated.
Right. And so then the next step, what would be the next step if you know the Lord, you've been a Christian, you have a relationship with Him, but you continually find yourself falling into this fear pattern. What is happening then?
Well, what was the verse that you opened up with in Philippians 4? Go ahead and read that again.
It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
Beautiful.
Okay.
Now, the promise is for the peace of God to guard the hearts. This is probably the most important statement that we'll say on the show today.
Okay.
If you don't have the peace of God, it's because you don't understand or know the grace of God.
Okay.
And the grace of God is exemplified throughout every book in the New Testament. But I'm drawn right now to Ephesians 2:8-9 that tells us that it's by grace that we have been saved and not of ourselves. So then if we understand that grace really encompasses not only our justification, but our sanctification and our eternal glorification, and we don't have that understood, then we will not understand the grace of God, and then we will automatically, constantly be tripping back into the fear pattern. Because the just must live by faith.
Okay.
All right. So,
kind of what we're doing is we begin to rely on self and see things from a different perspective, and we get kind of self-focused and centered on the temporal and the physical, and we're not nurturing maybe that relationship with the Lord and standing in His promises to have His grace and His peace that would rule.
Yeah.
Am I
No, you're summarizing it great. What I want to just share, and this is not going to happen immediately, but as you develop a habit of searching the Scriptures to know the person, the Holy Spirit is going to be able to flow that information because your mind is focused on the eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the eternal, don't get so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, which that particular phrase, I say you have to be heavenly minded if you want to be earthly good.
Yes.
All right. But you do need to constantly keep focusing because remember, we are eternal creatures. We're not temporal creatures that are going to go back to dust, never to rise again.
So you're not saying we're immortal.
I'm saying we're eternal.
Eternal.
Eternal because
right.
of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And what he's done for us.
So these bodies will die.
They're going
they're
to go
going
to sleep
to
for a while.
But we, our soul, will continue on.
Continue on. So if that's the eternal part of us, is our spirit, then the Lord is going to look after taking care of the temporal part because He created the temporal part. But at the same token, He has the eternal game plan.
And the most important part is the eternal.
Exactly.
And so while we're walking here on this earth and doing things in this physical body, that is preparing us for where we will spend eternity. So we're back to the same first question. Have you received Jesus Christ as Lord? Because John 14:6 says, "I am the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me."
Well,
and so that is the first step. In
that's the foundation.
The foundation in finding mm-hmm. out where will you spend, where will your eternal soul spend eternity? Because there is no going back to the dust.
No. And for people that believe that hell is not a literal place, but it's just the difficulties of life are in for a terrible shock one day.
Yes.
Because it's literal. And many people just do not believe in a literal hell. And that's part of what produces a fear because our spirit is saying there is a literal hell. The Lord is trying to warn us of it. They don't want to hear it because it's a hard saying. But Sharon, the Lord spoke more about hell than He did about heaven.
Yeah.
Because He knew that the majority of the people would live in fear and in self and that they would not see that the way is narrow. And so consequently, he went to the cross for all. John 3:16, he died for all. And he's not willing that any should perish.
Right.
Fear is a big issue because it's going to bring people into an eternal future that they're not anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets too easy to operate off of fear as one of your foundations.
So really, once we have established that we are a true born-again believer, that we have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior, then walking in faith seems to be a struggle for many of us because of fear. So the greatest thing that we can do is get back into the scriptures, find these scriptures on fear, and not only claim them for ourselves, but read them and accept them for ourselves. Accept that God said this, He promised this, we can trust His promises, and accept these words as His word to us about fear.
And you said something at the very beginning. That was a long sentence for
I'm
you,
sorry.
Sherry. No, that was great. That was great. You sounded like Paul there. You just sentence go on and on and on and on. But back to the first part of your sentence was about faith. And here's what we have to accept. Faith has to have fire. It has to be tested for it to increase.
Okay.
And then when the Lord brings the test, we question His integrity. We question His timing.
And we question ourselves, did I make the right decision? Or, you know, God's mad at me? Or, you know, that kind of thing when you know, we go through that test.
Yes, and I will just tell you, a young man who recently accepted Christ, he asked somebody that was important to him, well, I guess you're mad at me, so you don't want me anymore because after I accepted Jesus, I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they immediately went back into fear because they had not performed the way they thought a new Christian should.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord takes us through countless tests of different...
And that's the fire of faith.
And that's the fire of faith. And that is the normal Christian life of overcoming.
Okay.
I wish we could all have mountaintop experiences all our life. And everybody uses that as the great ultimatum of wonder. But Sharon, have you ever been on a mountaintop above 10,000 feet? It's barren. There's no trees. It's cold.
Mm.
And it's dangerous.
Okay.
I have learned in my old age to rejoice in being down in the valley where it may be a little more testing. But you know what? It's warm down there.
Well, you're in the fire of faith. So, yes, it is warm down there,
yeah,
Jane.
Right. But we basically just need to remember that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. He is our mediator. He is living right now. And so anything that He allows in the faith of being tested, He's right there in the fire with you. Just like the fiery furnace of where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. And then there was a fourth person with them in the fire. Mm-hmm. He didn't take them from the fire.
Right.
But the pain, even in the fire, was nullified because of His presence of being with them.
And that's a great example, Janie, for when we're in those struggling times, that the Lord is right there with us. And we may not be out of the fire, but the pain's nullified.
And some of us just stay in the fire.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's probably from our own poor choices, but we have that verse, that chapter that is dear to all of us, Psalms 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, mm-hmm. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And the rod and the staff have to do with the authority of the great shepherd.
Yeah.
The crook at the top can pull that lamb, whether it's under his leg or around his neck, to pull him out of a dangerous place, lift him up when he is alone on the mountain and caught on the mountainside.
Right.
So we also need to look at, there's a verse, I believe, let's see, Sharon, I'm back to Isaiah. I tell you what, Isaiah's got some good stuff.
It is packed full of promises.
Yes. And Isaiah, let's see, I believe it is 35:4. Tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong and don't be afraid. God is coming to your rescue. Mm. Now, He determines how He wants to rescue you. It may not be immediate. And you know, one of the biggest problems I've had over all these decades of knowing the Lord is timing. You know, and that's why the Lord says, be patient, be still, and know that I am God.
I think that probably sends many people into fear when God doesn't move when we think He should or how we think He should. So just like Peter was looking for God to build his kingdom now, we kind of get a wrong perspective. Look at Isaiah 41:13-14. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel.
And you know what? He is the Holy One of Israel to us too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, that may be a direct promise to the Israelites, but that's a promise that I would stand on because the Holy God of Israel is also the Holy God that it says that I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then there's a proverb. Let's see. I think it's Proverb 29:25. When it says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Now, if I take that from a temporal perspective, Sharon, and I have illness that is terminal, or we have a loss of a loved one or a child, well, my word, the Lord says, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. The Lord will keep me safe. You know, from an eternal's perspective, for all of eternity, you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
But you may know, because of what we've just been talking about, fire and faith,
right.
You may go through some trauma. I know a lady who has lost 3 of the 4 men in her life, her husband, her son, her brother. I know she could read that verse and say, doesn't work for me. But if it's eternal, she realizes she's passing through the valley of the shadow of death and that truth is a truth to her because God deals with us from His eternal perspective, not from our temporal circumstances, even though He is with us, just like in the fiery furnace. But we are not necessarily eliminated from that. And I think there's a lot of confusion when people do not break the scriptures down according to, as we've talked about in Philippians 1, where he says you need that knowledge and that discernment. Why? So that you may approve the things that are excellent.
Right.
All right.
Yes.
And
yes.
There are things that are excellent that are our first priority that we need to be following.
Okay.
So, and then the other point I'd like to bring out, Sharon, before we close, is we have to know our place in Jesus Christ. And some people go along with this. Some may have a different way of saying it, but we have to know we are in Christ and
yes.
that we have security in Him. So whenever I read the scriptures and when it says by Him, in Him, I claim that as a eternal position, that no man can rob me, no man can take me out of my Father's hands. And by the way, that includes me. I can't take myself out of my Father's hands. Now, I can sure maybe make Him want to rub His hands together and give me a little good chastening.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes.
Okay, but no one can remove us out of the Father's hands once we have been placed in Him.
Okay, I would like to close us out with this verse of Scripture. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior.
Mm,
He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. And that's Zephaniah 3:17.
Yes.
All right. That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.